rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning, and my co-host this morning is Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Dayasab. And yes, Mawlana is this morning in a very, very good mood and very excited, Mawlana.
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners and to yourself, Mawlana Junaid. Yes, getting very excited now, just a few days left.
Yes, few days left for Mawlana Ibrahim Daya's nikah, mashallah. And we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him barakah in his nikah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him happy always. Mawlana, I'm sure, you know, the being your nikah, it is something of a special occasion, and it makes us remember the time when we made nikah.
Yes, definitely, Mawlana. It's something that you sort of maybe only experience once in your life, and it's something that it's just a lot of excitement. The family is so happy, and we continue to make dua that Allah fill our marriages with happiness and barakah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of hidayat to everyone.
Yes, and then obviously there's the fear factor as well. There's that sense of anxiety, not fear, I would say, but anxiety about how are things going to be turning out, what type of a person am I going to be marrying, what are the qualities going to be, are we going to get along, you know, all of these things I'm sure plays a role as well.
Yes, and it's something new that, you know, just last week, Ma, I'll just share with you, I was with some of my friends and we were sitting around and they told me that, you know, next week you won't be able to do this, next week you won't have this freedom. And then it sort of hit home that, okay, it is something new, but here's the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we did with that intention, then Allah's help will come. And yes, there's always a fear that how am I going to be, how is she going to be, are we going to get along? But if we keep those principles that Islam has taught us in mind, then inshallah all will go well.
Yes, definitely some anxiety there, some fear as well, but I know lots and lots of excitement, definitely for the family, for your parents, I'm sure, and from the girls' side as well. You know, we've had the marriage program for many years on Saturday morning, but we've never had the opportunity of interviewing somebody who's about to get married. We had nikah announcements, yes, but we never interviewed somebody who's about to get married. And this is an ideal opportunity for us now, Mawlana Ibrahim, that we can really find out from you what the feelings are like and what the preparation, what type of preparation goes in to getting married.
Yes, the funny thing on that is that I do the nikah announcements on Fridays for Radio Islam. So the big question this whole week was, are you going to announce your own nikah? And I told the people that you'll just have to wait and see what happens tomorrow with regards to that. And yes, when it comes to the excitement, I think it's something that you can't really explain. It's just like a whole bag of mixed emotions. Sometimes you're like so excited, then of course you get that bit of anxiety. Then you see all the work that needs to get done, and it's just a whole bit of mix-up, but you're happy with it. It's all, you know, even though you're so busy, there's happiness in that also.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And then you feel like there's not enough time left and you needed to start earlier on with the preparations as well.
Yes, you know, when there's like 2 months left, then you're thinking, hey, it needs to be soon, it needs to be soon. And then as the days come and you see the work is getting done, you're saying, oh, this morning we woke up and I know it was like, hey, it's 2 days left. It's only two more nights and then the nikah will be taking place, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Like they say, two more sleeps, Mawlana. Yes, we have Brother Idris on the line with us. Let's welcome him onto the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this morning, Idris bhai?
Alhamdulillah. I'm here in Johannesburg. I'm on my way to the airport. I'm flying back home. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. You were visiting Johannesburg, I'm sure, for a program.
Yeah, I came for a program here, yeah, and then I had one or other two things to do, some counseling, and alhamdulillah, I'm going back home, and inshallah, I'm going on Sunday to Malaysia for the marriage conference there in Malaysia, you know?
Okay, mashallah. So it sounds interesting. What type of marriage conference is it?
It is really the one that I went to last year. They invited scholars from throughout the world, and I am blessed that I'll be rubbing shoulders with scholars, you know, alhamdulillah. What happens there, they get about 3,500 or 4,000 people who attend. They have each of the speakers does not speak for more than half an hour. There are about 8 or 9 speakers. While that is going on, that they have a workshop that takes place. And while that is going on, what also happens is that there is some counseling that goes on. While that is going on, they have a premarital counseling, and prospective couples have an opportunity to engage each other within the Sharia. And then after that, a few months after that, they decide whether they want to marry or not. And it's really one of the most incredible conferences I've attended. And I think, and I'm so glad you are speaking about marriage, the excitement, the nervous trepidation. But really, I think for me, more than anything else, I think we are missing the plot in this country. And I'm very, very concerned that we do not have premarital counseling. And I want to recommend that the scholars, the ulema as a group, must now make it mandatory for any couple before they, oversee the nikah procedures, that they must make sure that they've gone for premarital counseling from authentic organizations, because I'm very concerned about the divorce rates, you know.
Yes, that is definitely a concern. What we were speaking about is that Maulana Ibrahim Dai, our co-host, is making nikah this weekend, inshallah. So, very excited for him. And
Alhamdulillah. Yes, very excited at this point, and also a bit of nerves in there and a bit of anxiety. So it's good that we speak about marriage on this program so much. I've learned so much, and a lot of that which I can now bring into my life, inshallah.
Inshallah, inshallah. So so when is the wedding?
Inshallah, on Saturday after Asr is the nikah, and then on Sunday as well is the function.
Alhamdulillah, man. Hey, you must be so excited, right?
Yes, very excited.
Now, inshallah, may your marriage be a wonderful marriage. May your troubles be minor. May your joys be great, inshallah.
Ameen.
Inshallah. And tell your wife that she chose well.
Yes, sir, I definitely also chose well when it comes in that regard.
You see, you are so sharp. You know she's listening to the program.
Yes, sir, I got to pick my words very, very, you know, I'm very selective when it comes to what I say.
And you know, really, Maulana, this is the point, you know. People, you know, I can't believe it when people say that there's no laughter in their home. You know why? I mean, we need to smile, we need to laugh, we need to be happy. And marriage is a happy institution, you know. And really, we must start doing these things. And, you know, and we don't seem to understand the fact that, you know, you're marrying someone from a complete different background, the way she's been brought up, you know, the emotions they have shared. And you find that nowadays, lots of young boys, and Allah bless them, they're like my own sons. When they do get married, they might have grown up in a home where the father may not have been expressive about his love or demonstrated it, and they find difficult to express it to their spouses, you know. And our sisters love it when the man calls them Shushu Bablina, my jalebi, my sweetie, I love you, my darling, you are the special one, you're the only one, you know. They love it, you know. And Maulana, I hope you're going to share that with your wife, eh? How's it?
Yes, definitely, Uncle Idris, I'll use those words that you have taught us. And also, with regards to just, you know, that laughter in the house, I know they say that, you know, if you can make a girl smile, then you've won a heart.
Tell you what, you can make a girl smile, what?
You've won a heart.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you must keep on smiling, and she's upset too, she'll be forced to smile at you. Just smile. Smile, inshallah.
Inshallah. Yes, Mohan Junaid, the topic that we'll be discussing today?
Yes, Idris Bhai has suggested the topic that we are going to be discussing, inshallah, Al-Aziz, and that is low self-esteem and its impact on marriage. So, it's our approach, our attitude, and how that impacts our marriages. and it is certainly apt for today's discussion.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, I had a specific reason for that. I find that when people have low self-esteem, be it the boy or the girl, you know, they can never ever be happy in the marriage. Really, they cannot be, because you know there are numerous attributes people with low self-esteem show, and we need to understand what those attributes are. So I think it's very, very important we can define, as the program goes along, what is low self-esteem, what is high self-esteem, how can we make sure that our children have a high self-esteem, and what are the positive effects of it, and we need to talk about it. It is something that we do not speak about enough, and many people wonder what's the relevance of this topic. It is very relevant.
Yes, this is why we speak about this, and we say that it plays a big part in a person's life, or rather it can have an impact on the person's marriage. But where do you find, where does this where does this problem, where is it created, where this person now feels or has this low self-esteem?
You see, what it starts off from the time they are born, in terms of their life experiences with their parents, especially. Now you find that sometimes parents unwittingly, they strip the children of self-esteem. They do it by demonizing them in front of others, you know, hitting them, instituting corporal punishment. Not, the kids do not grow up in a home where there is love and affection, you know. And you find a whole range of things that do take place. And the talk, they often tell the children, you know, you're stupid, you are silly, and all of these things. And really what it does, it erodes the self-esteem of children. Now, self-esteem can be best described as, how do you perceive yourself? What's your self-perception? Do you love yourself? And you know, we are told as Muslims, when you look at the mirror, you say, Ya Allah, I may be beautiful outside, also make me beautiful inside. And self-esteem has got nothing to do with wealth, it's got nothing to do with how pretty you are or how handsome you think you are. So this is something that we need to understand. And it's and how can parents nurture the self-esteem of the children? They can nurture it by hugging them, loving them, spending time with them, being positive with them, and saying to them that you're proud of them, and telling them, you know what, my beloved son and daughter, I have no doubt in my mind, inshallah, you're going to be a wonderful husband, a wonderful wife, you're going to be a wonderful ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in other words, the kids grow up in an atmosphere of love and affection, that makes a big difference.
Okay, so low self-esteem and its impact on marriage, it will definitely have an effect from the very beginning of the relationship, from the very first day of the marriage, and then it the effects of it then carry on further with the children, with the extended family members, and it has a devastating effect. Now, what are the signs, or how does a person characterize themselves as having low self-esteem?
You know, you find that when people have low self-esteem, what really happens to them is that they will do the following. They would really not trust their spouse, number one. Right? Secondly, they would look at them with suspicion. And you find that, you know, when you got low self-esteem, you know, what often happens is the fact that you never ever, for example, believe in the other. You feel a sense of insecurity, and you find that you are not able to embrace change. Now, change is a very, very important thing, because marriage is, number one, adapting to the institution of marriage and adapting to the individual with whom you marry. And you find that if, for example, if your wife tells you, my darling, I love you, You wonder now, you think there is a reason behind it. You begin to view that with suspicion. And
Rita, we are losing your line there. Unfortunately, the reception is quite bad. I know you're driving. And
okay, phone me back in 5 minutes.
We'll call you back in 5 minutes, inshallah. The reception is quite bad there. 27 minutes after 11, you are listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. My co-host today is Maulana Ibrahim Daya. Our guest is Brother Idris Khamisa. We are speaking about self-esteem and its impact on marriage, particularly low self-esteem, and how that impacts our relationships, how that would impact our marriage, and what we can do to basically improve our self-esteem and avoid that type of impact, a negative impact on our marriages. Inshallah, Aziz, we'll take your calls on 011-854-1548. Also take your SMSs, and Bolan Ibrahim Daya can share the SMS number with us.
Yes, we do have a WhatsApp number that is 0727861548, and also we have a the SMS number is 48855. So you can contribute to the program, you can ask questions, you can, if you have some input or some experience in this field or on this topic, then definitely share it with us. We can share it with Idris Bhai and get the discussion going,
inshallah. Aziz, we'll take a short break, inshallah. We'll be back after that. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And welcome back to Idris Khamisa. Idris Bhai, I hope your line is a bit clearer now.
I hope so. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you clearly.
Okay,
alhamdulillah. Idris Bhai, we have a message that has come in. A sister says, assalamu alaikum. How do we approach our kids and tell them that we love them because we find it hard to hug them and tell them that I love them?
And you know what? You know, I'm so glad the sister asked that question. You got to bear in mind, and some things we don't speak enough about. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very expressive prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way he hugged his children, his grandchildren, the way he played with them, he was very, very expressive about it. Initially, it might be difficult, but even if you do it mechanically, ask Allah to put pity in your heart. Do it. One of the turning points in my life was when my father and I, you know, started hugging each other. That brought about so much of closeness. It was also an emotional connection. So that you must just go and do it. Just start off every day. You and the husband must hug the children every day when they leave for school or whatever, at home in the evening before they go to sleep. And I'll also recommend that husbands and wives must also hug each other in front of the children. So children would know about the sacred institution of marriage. They would know how to express the emotion. My heart really goes out to people who do not know what to do. And I would just say to her, go and do it. Take the quantum leap. And I promise you, you know, I always tell people, what's the use of tears in a graveyard? And when you say, I love you, to the person who has passed away, but yet on a day-to-day basis, you never express that love, you know.
Yes, it is, but we are speaking about low self-esteem and how it, what it has on the marriage. So how does, you know, we hear sometimes, many times we would think, or generally we think that it's the woman that maybe suffer from low self-esteem, but many times you find that the husbands as well. So what sort of impact and how does this really affect a marriage?
You see, what happens in many, many ways, because you are looking at your spouse with a colored lens, right? Once you look at it, it really taints the way you look at the person. Even the action of your partner may be innocent, may be beautiful, but because of your own issues, you look at it negatively. So I think this is a fundamental thing. And now what happens is this. Now, you know, in a marriage, if both parties have low self-esteem, it's problematic. But if one of the partners has a high self-esteem, then he needs on his own way to develop, to nurture the self-esteem, you know, of the spouse. And you can do it with loving care. And once you understand the background, once you understand the background of your wife, it will make a huge, huge difference. And you know, therefore, the first 3 years of marriage are very critical years, because it is in the first 3 years of marriage that you begin to observe your wife, your spouse, and she observes you, and you look at, what are the motivating factors, why does she behave in the way she behaves, and it's very important, it's so important that we show sensitivity to other people, and self-esteem is an attitudinal thing. It can change overnight, so we need to work on that. In that way, I promise you, when a person's self-esteem is high, you're really opening a new world to all of them.
Okay, so, what about the role of the spouse in building up the self-esteem, like you have been mentioning now, that the spouse can be instrumental, and the spouse has to be very sensitive to the emotional needs of their partner, and the spouse can definitely help in building up self-esteem.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, because sometimes it is a husband, give me first one. So, something what happens, husband or woman who speaks to their spouses with humiliation, with insensitivity, what you do, you rob them of their self-esteem. So I think it's very, very important. It's about feelings, how important feelings are. Not to hurt, to use purring words rather than snarling words, to uplift, to be positive, to forgive. That's important.
Yes, it is. We speak about this, and we mentioned that when we speak about low self-esteem, but one thing that also sometimes we find happening, and we've read about it and seen, is that sometimes when a person has a low self-esteem, then he tries, and puts more pressure on himself to be perfect. And then what this sort of happens is that he expects the spouse now to be perfect, and this sort of puts pressure on the entire marriage.
No, absolutely. Now, but that's a beauty part, you see. A person with high self-esteem knows that he's not perfect. He knows he's got strengths and areas for development. Now, but when you aim for perfection, really you find that it is a person with low self-esteem who's aiming for perfection, because what happens, they feel insecure, they want to do things perfectly, and as a result of it, what often happens, they put a lot of pressure. Now, remember this, all of us are unique beings, and the part of self-esteem is to recognize that we are unique beings, that the other person is not better than you, is only different from you. And this is a fundamental thing that we need to understand, that none of us is perfect, And in that way, it will make a big difference the way we relate to each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is in this issue of self-esteem, I'm sure you have come across many cases as well in how that has affected the marriage. Perhaps you could just share an idea of how it affects marriages, from the practical aspect.
Yes, you see what happens. For example, just look at this. You and I know being positive is an important attribute of any believer. And when you've got low self-esteem, you are never positive. You are always pessimistic. So in other words, every, overture in terms of reconciliation and all of these things, you'll keep on saying it will never work, it'll never change, and I'm not prepared to change. So that negativity is something that really, it is something that often consumes people with low self-esteem. The other one is that they become argumentative, and you find that, it doesn't matter to them, it's about my way or the highway. It's not about compromise. Not prepared to look at compromise. So these are important things. And there are many, many things that reflect that. And you find that, there is this degree of suspicion. And that's there's also eroding, marriages. So many, many things on a practical level does take place. And really, and again, I want to implore parents and teachers that one of the best gifts you can give your children is to give them a high self-esteem. And you find that these young boys become young adults, young girls, they would really play a meaningful role in society. They'll be positive, they'll not overreact to situations, and they'll be always prepared to compromise and to say, we can make it work. Alhamdulillah. Like last night, alhamdulillah, I met with a couple, and really, I was so happy when they left and they were prepared to work at it. And that's what you want to see. And they realized in the end at the era of the ways, and they were open about it, and alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So there's something that we need to do. And remember this, our respective Maulanas, that we are not living in an extended family anymore. So the father and mother are the only source, in a sense, for a growing child, they, either the healthy self-esteem or low self-esteem. So those parents that are vulgar at home, who are rude to their spouses, what often happens, they have a profound, profound negative impact on each other. And most importantly, the people who suffer most are the children.
Yes, Aziz, but you mentioned that, you know, that last point of, you know, when parents are rude in front of the children, and that's going to have impact. But has this become something that of the past, where, you know, just appreciating your spouse, the smaller things, you know, just saying thank you, showing them some love, showing them appreciation, this surely helps in building that self-esteem.
Well, that's very important. It's about, you know, every day, you know, being positive, showing appreciation, showing gratitude. And in that way, that is a fundamental. What is it in me?
Okay, well, Zaya, see, this way is a little bit busy, I think, checking in his luggage right now. It's just gone 18 minutes to 12. You're listening to Al Mashariq on Radio Islam International. And Monandaya, perhaps just share that WhatsApp and SMS number with us again.
Yes, the WhatsApp number. There is a few messages coming through, inshallah. We'll share it with it. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548.
Okay, can you tell us about those messages?
Yes, it's basically a few messages that are coming in with regards to this, yeah, that how do I deal with this, that if my husband sort of keeps belittling me, then how do I build my self-esteem? And also, sometimes it's not the pressure from the husband, that there's messages coming in through where the in-laws sort of put pressure, and this can sometimes break the self-esteem of the person.
Mm-hmm. That is, you know, a major issue when the spouses don't help each other, when in actual fact the spouses break down each other's confidence and to keep on belittling or putting down the other, criticizing the other, and it really leads to problems in the marriage. Either one spouse will become drawn out, and they just become a withdrawn type of a person, or else they just become aggressive also because of that type of belittlement all of the time. And between spouses, this should not be the way. How do we expect to grow as a family? How do we expect to love each other when, on the one hand, we want love, but together with that, we are emotionally destroying our spouses?
Yes, and we mentioned this, and we say that, you know, when it comes to marriage, it's sort of a workshop, and you got to work together with the wife or with the spouse. And one thing that we find that really it could kill a marriage, or it really damages a marriage, is when we find when either the husband or the wife, when we belittle each other in public or in front of people, and that really kills the self-esteem of a person, and then to recover from that becomes very difficult. So we know that in every marriage there are going to be times where there are arguments, where there are disagreements, but it's choosing when and where to do it. When you're in a public place, you got to just, you know, be a bit tolerant, be patient, wait till there's a better time to do it. And these help in building the marriage and keeping that person's self-esteem. The moment we start belittling people, that's when it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole issue. Do we have Idris Bhai back on the line with us? Okay, it doesn't seem so. We'll get Idris Bhai in a little while. Let's take a little bit of a break. Now, Malay, it's quarter to 12. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned to Al Mashariq on Radio Islam International. Welcome back to Al Mashariq on Radio Islam International. And let's check if we have Idris Bhai back on the line with us.
Excellent. Sorry about all this little interruptions. You know, how are you? I'm okay. I'm back.
Okay. Idris Bhai, let's carry on with our discussion. Perhaps we can go back onto the positive side of things, and we can discuss Maulana Ibrahim Daya's upcoming nikah, inshallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, whilst we often highlight some of the negative things that happen, and you know, there are so many couples that are praiseworthy in their conduct. You know, you go to the homes, there's a atmosphere of love and forgiveness, and they're helping each other to attain Jannah, and they lead very meaningful lives. They invest in each other emotionally, they invest in them psychologically, and I think, you know, they also have shura, so the activities of the husband or each other, it's not something that is unbeknown to the other. And they understand. I think a critical thing about marriage is to understand your partner, to understand who she is, where she comes from, and similarly she needs to understand you. And I say, you know, any woman that encourages her husband to keep in contact with his parents, you know, I tell you, that man will die for her. And you find sometimes a woman who they act like a buffer, and they, really make it difficult for the husband to interact with them. So, Ibrahim, Maulana Ibrahim, so you must share with us your excitement.
Yes, Agriz, we know from the beginning of the program when Marjane was saying to explain the excitement, I told him that it's unexplainable. It can't, it's just a different feeling. It's like mixed emotions, excitement, anxiety. It's not really, I don't know. Only when a person goes through it, I think then they know exactly what it is.
No, absolutely. You know, it's a different phase in your life. Now you're going to share space with someone, right? And it's the excitement is there, but the important thing is to try to sustain the excitement, inshallah. And I'm sure that you'll be coming to the radio station every morning with a smile. And sure. when you're leaving for home, you're going to smile.
What a bigger smile!
Hey, Maulana.
It makes us feel like doing it all over again.
Yeah, because. We have forgotten what it was, right?
Forgotten what it was. I think we must put the word out there. Maybe we are ready again.
I always say, my wife said I can go to and fro, but not from fro to fro. You know?
that's a good one, Idris. Right?
No, really. Yeah. Carry on, Maulana.
Yes, now, it's just to share with you a few messages that are coming through. We do encourage our listeners to interact. And one that comes through that seeking advice, saying that sometimes the spouse doesn't give us the freedom to fail. You know, every time we do something wrong, they knock us down. So how do we go about the situation?
You know, that's the point, you see. And I say it, you know, it's difficult to change, it's not impossible. But one of the things is, if the spouse is not prepared to go for counseling, it's problematic. But the second way, to me, the most critical principle is you've got to know the temperament of your spouse before you marry. And that's important. That's very, very critical, because if the temperament is, someone says, I'm like this, I'm not prepared to change, khalas, you know you're going to be confronted with an issue. And I mean, I was dealing with some, I don't know if I mentioned this, last year or so, I was dealing with an individual who was going to marry someone, and she asked me my advice. I said to her, don't marry him. You know, don't marry him. Because he was rude to her, and he was not prepared to go for premarital counseling, and he said to her, you can, you know, you either me or the highway, you know. So I said to her, then you take the highway. Really, because I knew all the signs were for the unhappy marriage, you see. So I think it's important, you know, and Allah make it easy for the sister, you know.
I mean, we had a similar question just before that. If the husband keeps on putting the lady down and keeps on breaking her self-esteem and breaking her self-confidence, then how is she expected to build self-confidence? And the spouses need to realize that, you know, one's self-confidence is a compliment to the other. And by you criticizing your spouse, breaking them down all of the time, you're actually not only harming them, you're harming yourself.
But Mona, that's precisely the point. But I'm going to say something else. I'm going to say this. Remember this. It's a very important thing for your own survival and your own sanity. If someone is rude to you, that should not diminish you. That's a reflection on that person. It's not a reflection on you. And you should not allow anyone to diminish you. And if there are signs of it in the beginning of your marriage, You've got to assert yourself and discuss. It is fundamental. Now, what happens? You know, some people say, often our sisters say, you know, he made me look so small. He does this to me. He does that to me. Whatever he does, it's him. But how you respond to him is a different thing. You must assert yourself. You must say to yourself, whatever he's saying about me, I know I'm not like that. So I'm not going to allow him to bully me. And this is a very important thing, you know. But what often happens, if you leave a situation unattended to for the most part of your life, then sadly what's going to happen, you're going to be in a situation where you'll not be able to change it, you know.
Yes, it is by, and earlier also one of the messages that has come through and like to share it with you was, they say that sometimes the pressure comes from the in-laws, where they put the pressure on the daughter-in-law and, you know, keep running her down, and comes in place sometimes in the kitchen, or your rotis are not round enough. And I know my mother's listening, I'm not hinting at anyone, just doing my job. So, see, so with regards to this, Zisa, how do you work around it?
You know what? I mean, listen to me, right? It's a very important thing. You know, you firstly, any mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, they must establish a relationship of understanding. And the thing is, you know what? You cannot come there and undermine. You cannot do this, really. And you know, and people are sensitive, you know. And you find that our girls, when they get married, some of them may not be, I'm not saying that they should be the sole preserve in the kitchen, but some of them do feel insecure regarding their culinary skills. And I think, I don't know why a woman can do a thing like this. How can she hurt and humiliate someone? You know, she is mature enough to let me understand this person. And over a period of time, they can, once they have a relationship, they can say, come, you know, we'll work together in the kitchen. And the mother-in-law, in a very unobtrusive way, can do certain things. Say, don't worry, today, you know what, you do this curry, I will do the roti. You know what I'm saying to you? You've got to use a lot of hikmah, you know, because people's feelings are very important, you know.
This is the whole thing, which is the basic of all of these topics, is that hikmah, that tact, that diplomacy in speech is something that is quite lost in this time.
You know, Maulana, that is so true. We find that we are abrasive, we say whatever we want, you know? And really, and therefore I say the 90% of the marriages that are broken off, you know, these people have regrets because they know they've not spent enough time seeking advice, consolidating the marriage. And the most effective antidote to interference from in-laws is to make sure that you have a happy marriage. You make sure the home is happy. Now, what often happens, the mother must not, the wife mustn't, give vent to her feelings to her husband and say, yeah, your mother is like this, your father is like this, goes on and on, ad nauseum. Then in the end, it affects the relationship, you know.
That's not what we want. Idris Bhai, Jazakumullah Khairan for your time this morning. And to Maulana Ibrahim Daya, we are making dua for you all of the time. Allah Ta'ala give barakah and happiness.
Ameen.
And inshallah Aziz, we will speak next week. I don't know if you're going to be around next week, Maulana Ibrahim.
I won't be here for about a week or so. Inshallah, after that, I won't be returning.
Hey, boy, I'll tell you. Anyway, Maulana, we wish you well. And your good wife, inshallah.
Amen.
And I know after a week, there'll be a bounce in his step, you know. Alhamdulillah. Allah bless you both.
Amen.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran to Usama Basuni, our studio operator this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.